Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord for the music. Yes, especially the words right from the beginning. You said you come to have our sorrows. Praise be to the Lord, what He's taking all our sorrows away. He's taking all our troubles and tribulations out of us because He already went through this and He knows how He can help us in our days now, today. We are so thankful to the Lord what He is here with us this morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. If you came from Kona, please welcome. The Pune is the best church in the world. There is no Pune any other place in the world. It's only just right here. Thank you for coming. If you came from the mainland, please welcome. There is no better place in the world like Pune in Paradise Park. Yes, it's just a wonderful place. If you're visiting here today, we welcome you. If you will be any other time in our area, always welcome to the Pune Church because we are so glad to have you here. We are worshiping God and we have an open heart wanting to worship with you. Today we are going to talk about our appreciation and our thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Recently I was reading a story about an elderly man. Right few days before Thanksgiving, he called to in Phoenix, Arizona, and said, He called his son and said, I hate to ruin your day, my son, but I have to tell you what your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery, it's enough. We are sick of each other, and so you can call your sister in Fresno and tell her. Panically, the son called his sister. Okay, and as he called his sister, she exploded on the phone. I can tell you they are going to divorce. Let me give them a call. And as she called her father, she immediately called to Hilo. And she is telling him these words. You are not going to divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother right now. And both of us, day after tomorrow, we will be in Hilo. Don't do anything. Do you hear me? The man hung up his phone and turned to his wife and said, honey, you know, kids are coming for Thanksgiving and they are paying for their airfare. Yes, last week on Thursday we all celebrated Thanksgiving. It's great for us to have such a special day, and I appreciate so much what in the Pune Church we had a nice and special potluck and a great fellowship of Thanksgiving. Appreciate to all of you who organized the Thanksgiving. At least we need to remember that Thanksgiving is not exclusively an American holiday. But I heard the opposite. They said, no, it's exclusively American. But you see, as a matter of fact, in Canada has a Thanksgiving Day too on the second Monday of October. Yes? Many European countries have the same type of the Thanks of the Harvest traditions. The Jews have the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, which serve the function of returning thanks for the bountiful blessing. Well, these traditions are different from Thanksgiving. And maybe you're right. The Thanksgiving is exclusively only an American tradition. Praise be to the Lord Jesus for all His blessings. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving. And as we will approach God right now, I really would like for all of us to bow our heads and pray and give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our merciful Heavenly Father, for me personally, dear Lord, you gave such an amazing task to preach and teach, but help me to be more thankful, help me to be more appreciative, and help us, O Lord, to learn and to train the others how we can be thankful for all your blessings. Teach us today from your Bible as we will study your word. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's go right in this book of the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. It's quite interesting to notice what right from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis until Revelation, you'll find so many passages how God is appealing into your heart, but He is asking you and me to give Him thanksgiving and appreciation. Because the whole entire Bible is teaching you and me in order for us to react toward our Creator and Almighty God, how we will worship,
Because all your life, it's about worship. Whom we are worshiping. It's all about worship. And we all know that there is only two powers in the world, yes? The God's power and the Satan's power. And so often, we are not worshiping God. Let us worship God from the bottom of our hearts today. And I really would like for all of us to read. I would like to read the line, and I would like for you to repeat after me, Psalm 100. I will just read the first sentence, and you will repeat after me. Let's do it all together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. The sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Praise His name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Oh, praise be to the Lord for all these privileges. You see, with all my heart, I believe what we are a people and a nation which are really truly blessed by God Himself. And we really need to give thanks and our appreciation to the Lord always, always. It is not uncommon when people are making a list of the things which they would like to accomplish throughout the Christmas season. And ladies especially would like to make a list what they would like to do, what they would like to decorate, they would like to prepare during the Christmas season, and what they would like to accomplish by the end of this year, and what you would like to do in the next year. But so often we are neglecting and we are not making a list during the Thanksgiving season. If we will simply could make a list during the Thanksgiving season and say, whom should I call and say thank you? With whom should I talk and say thank you? Whom should I really approach and hug and say, let me say thank you from the bottom of my heart? How often we are neglecting to do this. But I recently was reading a funny story about how we can be thankful for everything. And the housewives, they are here writing. Housewives, they wrote what they were especially thankful. They're thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around their house because they usually make them big enough to call it to the professionals. Oh, yes. Look at this. Look at this. For the children, yes, this is what housewives are thankful for. For the children who put away their things and cleans up after themselves. There's such a joy. It's, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. Yeah. Oh, yes, especially they're thankful for teenagers because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. Yes, they're teaching us a second language. And especially for the smoke alarms because they let you know the turkey is done. And the turkey is done. Yes, exactly. I recently was talking to my parents. They said, yes, we had a smoke alarm in our house, and Daddy was staying in waving and said, what happened? No, we had that soya turkey. They had that, how do you call it? Not soya, but that tofu turkey. Yes, this is exactly what they did. But they didn't have any idea how to prepare because they don't need to prepare. It's already almost ready. But at least they used it, and a smoke alarm went on. But especially we need to be thankful for our salvation. This is what we really need to be thankful. For God so loved the world. But I put this from the New Living Translation. I would like for you to see it from the different perspective a little bit, this, the same text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world so much that He gave His own only Son, an only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. What a privilege we have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in order for us to be a faithful Christians, We as the workers for Christ, we need to find out how we really need to act or react or teach and lead the people of Christ in our work. Those who work for Christ, Sister White is writing for us in Signs of the Times. Those who work for Christ are to be pure, upright, and trustworthy. And they are also to be tender-hearted, compassionate, and courteous. Courtesy is one of the great graces of the Spirit. It is an attribute of heaven. The angels never fly into the passion, never are envious or selfish. No harsh or unkind words escape their lips. If we are to be the companions of angels, we too must be refined and courteous. May the Lord lead us as we will study this more and be more dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember 1717 very well in my life. After the military service, I went straight to the Zaokski Seminary. Zaokski Seminary just only recently has been built. It was in the south of Russia, a branch from Andrews University. And as I arrived to the Zaokski Seminary, they asked all of us, as applicants, what we need to go through the three different tests. Writing test, speaking, and it's supposed to have a personal conversation with the professors, with our future teachers. But so far, in order for me to accomplish those tests, honestly, I came absolutely unprepared. I had no idea what I will have a test because we had no communication in those days, no cell phones, no internet service, no emails, nothing. I just simply came. I wanted to study. And I prayed and I asked the Lord if He wants it for me to be a pastor, if He wanted for me to use me. And I remember that night when I was looking at all the other applicants, at all the other boys and girls over there, as they arrived to the seminary, they all came well prepared. They had already papers, everything in folder, everything well done. I said, wow, I came from the south. I had nothing with me. And I just simply prayed by my bed and opened my Bible. And it's open right in this passage, 1717. I remember this chapter very well in my life because I really wanted to be like this person in 1717. I really would like to follow his example all my life. And this is what I preached. And I passed the test. And I was accepted into the seminary. And I spent over there 5 years. And I graduated. And my parents were there on my graduation day. And I was so blessed to see them. And I was so blessed to be over there 5 years of my life. When I studied from the Bible, when I studied from the Old and the New Testaments, about how really God is saving you and how we really need to be appreciative and thankful for His salvation. You know, yes, absolutely. You know, you can see even right over here in the back, this person, it's a Ted Wilson. I had no idea what Ted Wilson, who is the president of the General Conference right now, was on our day of graduation. He was congratulating us on those days. But at least we were so blessed. Let's go back to the story. Luke chapter 17. Right here, we can find out it's an amazing story in the whole entire Bible. There was no specific distance at which they should stand those people, especially when they saw Jesus. And Jesus traveled along the border of Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us." A common misfortune had broken down the racial and national barriers over here. What's really happening here? A common misfortune has broken down the racial and national barriers. Because we can see that Samaritans are here, Jewish are right here, all of them, they got together. You see, if the flood, for example, surges over the piece of the country, the wild animals, they all congregate for safety. And so often you can see even their natural enemies, they're still staying together. They're not killing each other. They're simply waiting until this disaster will pass them. I remember when I was in the military service, when the Lord allowed for me to go right into the military, you can see me right here. And actually, When I arrived over there, I was really blessed, honestly, because over there in Russia, you are not going by your own desire or will to be in the military service. You're going because they are drafting you by force. If you will not go to the military service over there in Russia for 2 years, we will take you to prison for 3 years. This is the option. 3 years in prison, and your whole life is ruined, and it will be a mark in your stamps and your passport, what you've been in prison, or 2 years in the military. And actually, when I was applying with all the applications over there, I, right from the beginning, I put Seventh-day Adventist, keep the Sabbath, and so on. I knew what they were going to call for me over there. When I arrived to the base, they immediately called me to the officers, and they talked to me and said, you should remember, this is military. You are not with mommy and papi anymore. It means you're in the military. We will do whatever we want over here with you. You are our property right now. And anyway, I was faithful to the Lord, and I noticed how quick some of the other soldiers noticed what I'm a little bit different than the others. And I got so many friends there, Baptist, and from Pentecostal, from Jehovah's Witnesses. Even we had one guy, he was a Catholic. We had only 2% of the Catholics over there in Russia, but one of them was a Catholic. And we joined in one group, we congregated together because a common misfortune had broken down all our racial and national barriers. We got all united. And we were praying together. We were studying the Word together. And I remember how we were studying together. We were doing that secretly with the soft voice. We were singing songs, common songs, which we knew all together among those churches. And actually, one day, the officer called me and said, Krapov, my last name, because over there, it's even if they will use your last name, it's a privilege. Otherwise, you have a number. But anyway, he called me and he said, I noticed what you guys are gathering over there together in that particular place. Is that true what you are, as Baptists and the others, you are worshiping God? And you know, at that particular moment, I was challenged to say yes or no. I remember that moment quite clear in my mind today, right now, to say yes or no. Because I knew if I will say yes, it means they will get all of us, and we can easily go all together as one accord to prison for 3 years, at least, or even more. You see, right now we have a freedom over here. We can worship or we cannot worship. We can go to the church in the morning or we can say, parents, no, I will stay at home and watch maybe something on the TV or so. I mean, the spiritual show. But so far, at least over there, we had no other options. And I told the officer, yes, we are worshiping God. And I had no idea what's happening at this moment, but he kind of jumped on me. He hugged me and said, I'm a believer too. You know, we have a situation right now in our base. What we caught a soldier. That soldier was working in a big facility. It's a storage facility for all the military stuff. And we had an inspection. They came from Moscow. They checked over there and they found 20 glass bottles of vodka, Russian vodka over there in that facility. There is no way he's supposed to have that vodka over there in that facility. We kick him out, and now we are waiting for the soldier. We are trying to find the right person who will not drink, who will not smoke, who would be faithful to the military. And said, it seems like we found one. You're going to be there. And they placed me right over there. And right over here in this picture, you can see, this is the storage facility. I'm sitting right here. They placed us, it was the year of 88. And right here, you can see the text from the Bible. It says, "За все благодарите." It means, be thankful for everything. We are celebrating the harvesting evening over there. It was the harvesting night. It was the day of Thanksgiving, how we celebrated all together, because the Lord opened the doors for us, even in the military service. And I had this place, actually, for 1.5 years. I was living over there as a king. Praise God. Well, he blessed me so much because everybody came to me and I had my office, I had my place over there, all the officers, all the soldiers. And we had our place to worship. We had our church right there. Even later on, somebody brought to us a small little organ, electric one. And we are using that organ for the glory of the Lord. It was amazing. Yes, because the Lord is always will bless you if you were simply faithful to him. Right here we can see what, according to the book of Numbers and book of Leviticus, as we will jump back to the story, we can find out what there is no specific distance for which they're supposed to stay. And it says right clear, according to the book of Numbers, would command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone who had an infection, skin disease, or a discharge of any kind, or who is ceremonially unclean because of the dead body. Recently, I was teaching at Manaloa School, and the kids were asking me, Pastor, what are you talking about leprosy? What is leprosy? What is leprosy? Anybody knows? Yes, I know it's a skin disease, but so far, I pull out a couple of pictures, and I wanted to show to you, and honestly, I decided to take all of those pictures away. I didn't want for you even to see them. Because if you would like to see them, you can easily go to Google and check about the leprosy, but so far, it's a terrible disease. So hard to watch, so hard to see. But those 10 individuals crying for help, they're crying to Jesus. They were approaching Jesus in the distance, and they're crying for help. Those lepers were shouting. They're shouting, Master Jesus, please have mercy on us. And just simply, please heal us. But it's very, very interesting in this particular story why Jesus was short, very short, to be merciful to them. In many, many other passages in the Bible, in many other stories in the Bible, you can see how somebody is approaching Jesus, and Jesus is immediately touching the individual, opening his eyes, or immediately healing the individual right there on the spot. But why with these 10 individuals, he's acting a little bit differently? Many commentaries, when I read about commentaries about this particular situation, one of the commentaries explaining what maybe Jesus wanted to restore them back into the community. The only one way to restore them into the community, it was through the local priest. And if the local priest will announce them what they are good enough, they are healthy enough, they can go back and will be happy, accepted into the community. Because Jesus was not in a good authority on that particular time of his life. I'm saying Jesus is a perfect. Jesus is our God, no doubt. But people, they did not believe enough in Jesus on those days and that particular moment. But the local priest was in a better authority, and Jesus sent them to the local priest. Maybe it's one of the options. Another option, Jesus wanted for them to grow their faith and to develop their faith while they are still walking. And right here it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God, and in loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. You see, we all know what Samaritans and Jews, they didn't like each other. But so far, Jesus specifically notified right here in his gospel that he was a Samaritan. And this is my lovely verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are there other 9? Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are there other 9? How I want to be the one whom Jesus asked. How I wanted to be the one, that individual, whom Jesus will approach and tell, how nice what you came to give me thanks. How nice what you, the only one who came and say thank you. How nice what you are the only one, and maybe you're from Hawaii, maybe you're from the Pune area, maybe people consider what you're pagan and not a Jew or whatever, but so far praise God what you came. And you're thankful to the Lord Jesus. Has no one returned to give praise to God except the foreigner? Then he said to him, raise and go. Your faith has made you well. It's so important for us to learn how we really need to be thankful. And when I try to apply this story in our modern situation, let us try to resent this story. If we will, for example, see what the kids are playing outside in the yard and thinking about maybe if it will be nice if they could have an ice cream bar during the time while they are playing. And mother, she heard them what they are playing outside and they are dreaming about ice cream bar, okay? She came outside and gave $1 to each individual, to each child, gave $1. Now, guys, you can run to the store. Everything is safe and sound. You can run to the store, and no cars around over here. It's a nice area where we live. You can go to the store, buy your ice cream, and come back happily ever after. Okay, they went. And now we can see, if those kids did exactly as she said and just went to the store and not one of them thank you, what would you say? Maybe you will say, well, that's pretty poor. How often you and I are acting in very, very poor attitude. When we are teaching our children and we are saying to them, what do you say when you are receiving a gift? And it's so natural, we easily should say, yes, thank you, I received a gift. But you know how often we are receiving gifts, not a gift, but a gift from God, our heavenly and almighty God. He is giving you gifts and the ability to have your eyes, to have your ears, to be present right now, right here at the Puna 78 of this church. Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much what we're here today by your mercy and by your grace. So far, we really need to be thankful. And that thankfulness is supposed to just jump out of us like a flowers, yeah, shining flowers. It's like a heavenly kisses, no doubt about anything else. Because you are so thankful, you are so happy what the Lord is really blessing you. And what would you say? What do you say? This is how we are teaching our children. I remember when how I grew up in the south of Russia. And our mom, she really trained us very well, and my dad too. When we need to say thank you. We need to say thank you. You see, when I was born, we had no LP gas in our house. No gas at all. We used wood, we used kerosene, we used some other stuff, but it was before my date of my birth. When I was born, on that day, my dad wanted to give a gift to the whole family, and to my mom especially. And we had an LP gas and my date of my birth, when I was born into the world. And I don't know, everybody was so happy. I was not exactly sure. They were happy what I was born of because we had LP gas at home. But so far, everybody was happy. But we had something special on that particular day. Yes, and as I grew up over there, I learned what we need to be thankful for everything because we had no internet service on those days, no TV, no interactions at all. And so often we wanted to stay around our parents in the evening and simply listen to the stories which my mom and dad was reading to us. It was a special time to grow up and mature. And I remember how one day our house got on fire. Because with that LP gas tank and with everything what my dad was created over there to heat the whole house, somehow that particular system, one of the day did something strange and something happened strange and our house got on fire. Yeah, three windows and partially the roof was completely damaged, but we had a house from bricks. It was a heavy, big house, and not exactly big, but so far we had three rooms only. But in the same time, we had eight children. The Lord saved all of us. I remember how my younger sister, she was staying outside. It was a cold winter on a December month, and she was saying to Jesus, "Jesus, thank you, but we still have our shoes right now in us, and we're staying in a cold street outside." But and thank you, Jesus, what not the whole house was destroyed, but just half of the house. We still had a place to be in the other side of the room until we finished the other side. You see, we really need to be thankful for all the blessings. And I still remember my family, how they were so thankful when I came from the military service. They were so thankful that the Lord protected me while I was over there. And when I came back, we already had hot water in our house. So often today when we are opening the faucet, yes, we are not saying, thank you, Jesus, for the hot water. Why? But we should. Because it's a privilege which we have over here. And many homes and many houses, they don't have a really running water in their homes. Beside this, if we will have a hot water. But we were so blessed. And here's my brother. He lives in Belgium with his wife. He's an elder at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My sister, she's working in Belgium in a chocolate factory. She's a manager. But so far, she's a faithful Seventh-day Adventist. And he's my youngest brother, my mom and dad. And the other sister, she lives in Walla Walla. And my other nephews and grandmas. So far, the Lord really blessed us. We really need to be thankful and follow the commandments of the Lord where He is asking us to honor our parents, obey our parents, and be thankful. When we were depend on our parents for literally everything. Yes? No. Are we thankful nowadays? Did you call them lately? And then I'm questioning myself. When did I call them? When I should I actually put it this in a schedule. It's so nice right now to have our cell phones in our modern days when you can put everything on schedule. It's reminding you, okay, call your parents. Great, okay, I'm going to call my parents. It's nice if you will be reminded to call your parents and to say thank you. What you exist in this world because of the mercy of God. But how sharper when a serpent's tooth, this is what Shakespeare's King Lear is saying, how sharper when a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. To have a thankless child. It's so important for us to teach our children to be thankful, to be appreciative, to be thankful for everything. Because unfortunately, the younger generation nowadays, they think what our happiness and somehow depends on how well things go for us or around us. Depends how things are going happily around us. But our happiness is determined by our attitude. You see, it's regardless in what location you will be placed. It depends how you will be thankful for all the mercies and for all the blessings from the Lord. Because then Paul was in prison. This is what he wrote to us. And I really would like for you to remember, especially Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. It says right there, rejoice in the Lord always. It's going to be for the final test tonight, today, don't worry. Yeah, I will ask you this text again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all men. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Because He is care. He is concerned about you. He created you for the special reason and purpose. And He knows what is best He wanted to do through you or with you. Think of places in your life where you can think of something to be grateful for. When I was searching for the picture to place on this particular slide, I found out was how some missionaries in the Philippines are visiting from house to house and reading the scripture and passing the little verses from the Bible to the families. So thank you, God, when the message is spreading around the world. Thank you, Jesus, when we can think about the places where I talked to somebody and said thank you about the mercies of the Lord. So often we need to remember what we need to pay attention to those, especially moments where we need to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, what I'm alive here today. I'm sure you heard a story of people who get up in the morning and read the obituaries. If their name is not there, they give thanks and go on. We can thank God each day what we are alive and what we are here today. Thank you, Jesus, by your mercies, I am in a good health. Or if your health is bothering you, it's great what the Lord revealed, the good news to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, how to stay healthy. If you will eat properly, if you will feed your body with the healthy food, you will be blessed. And you will be blessed for a long time. Besides this, we need to be thankful that we live in the United States. With all the medical technology which we are experiencing nowadays, I should honestly tell you, my parents, they wouldn't be alive today if they would stay in Russia. But as they moved to the United States, my mom, she had a surgery on her heart where they replaced her aortic valve. My dad, he had a surgery on his heart as well, and they replaced the actual hour before his heart. And they're all healthy right now. They're doing very well. And they're so thankful for all this medical technology, which we do have, even in the United States. But you know, in Russia, for example, I should tell you, I don't know how in other countries, but if you're over 60 years of age, they consider you're already old enough. Yes, if you're over 60. But here you see you're laughing. Praise be to the Lord what we are living in such a privilege and with such so many blessings. Okay, I know what so often I'm not calling to Russia simply because they are thinking what money are growing here in the trees. Yes, we need to work hard over here in order for us to get $1 or so. But in the same time, you need to remember what we are so blessed with everything what you and I, what we are receiving here. We have enough money to have bread and the butter and whatever you want and your table. I remember when we used to live in Uzbekistan with my income over there and as the missionaries, we had just a little, $25 for the whole month. Yes, and in 2000, we actually came to the United States in 2001, 2 weeks before 9/11. 2 weeks, and my final check, which they I received over there, was $65 for the whole month. $65. We borrowed a lot of money before we moved to the United States. And everything what I received here, I immediately we sent it back. And my wife, she had a project to buy some computers for the students over there at the church and so on. This is how we send money immediately. All our first money, we send it back to Russia because we were so fresh. We remembered how people are struggling over there. We wanted to help them as much as we can. We need to be thankful for all the blessings. And today, if we have food and covering, with this, we shall be content. So often we are complaining. So often we are not exactly content. Even as we are living in such a privileged place. Oh, all people are so many times, I witnessed it personally. When I was in the mainland in Andrews University, and the students are looking at me, I'm with an accent, they are wondering what I'm from Russia. Good, yes, yes, I'm from Russia. But where do you live now? In Hawaii. Oh, in Hawaii? And immediately they wanted to be my friends because they want to come and visit Hawaii. It's so such a great privilege to live here. Do you know about the population in Hawaii? It's 1 million. 1,300,000, approximately, already. And approximately 160,000 in a big island. How many Seventh-day Adventists do we have on a big island? Around 800? Closer to 1,000? Or even maybe less? I don't know. But maybe you know better than I do. But I'm wondering, from 160,000, could you just simply imagine what God is asking you and me to do when He asks us to go and make disciples? 160,000. We are so blessed here in Hawaii. We should be thankful for all the privileges and at the same time, not to take them for granted. We need to share for the God's glory. I remember when I was as a missionary over there for 7 years in Uzbekistan. For 7 years. Actually, we've been asked, because of my seminary, they asked me to spend 4 years, at least 5 years. I spent in the seminary, they asked us for 5 years to spend in Uzbekistan. But we've been so blessed, and we had an opportunity to open even a missionary school over there. And as we were working over there, actually, two weeks ago, one of my brother, he called me from the Tashkent, from the capital of Uzbekistan. You know, in Uzbekistan, they have 25 million people. 25 million. You can check and Google, 25 million. And 2% only, 2% the Christians. It means 98% they're all Muslim people. Faithful to God, according to their beliefs. And it was not easy to work with them. But I found such a great privilege as a Seventh-day Adventist. What they accepted much easier us than the other Christians, unfortunately, I should say. Because if they will pronounce the name Christian over there, they're considering you, what you're smoking, you're drinking, you're Christian, you're putting a cross across you and so on. But in reality, this is not how we need to represent Christ with our character. Christians, by your deeds, this is what we studied today. And thank you, Brian, what you did such a good job with the Sabbath school lesson today when we studied about Paul, how we need to follow his example. And Paul easily said, follow me because I am following the Lord Jesus Christ. And only by our deeds, by our work, I told them openly to all the Muslim people, what we are doing, eating pork, we are worshiping on the Sabbath, we are worshiping God Almighty, the same God like you are, if you will simply believe according to what the Old Testament is saying. And one of the family from the city of Samarkand, they took us for a tour, and they took us straight to the museum over there. In that museum, they showed us the huge, big wall with the amazing picture, Daniel in the lion's den. I said, wow, you guys believe in this? I said, yes, exactly. We believe in Daniel. Even we have his grave over here, and his bones are over there. I don't know why they have the bones of Daniel in the other city part of the wall, and in Samarkand too, but still they believe. But so far, at least they believe in the Old Testament books. They believe in Moses, they believe in Job, and all the other books. And we had something in common to talk about and to share the Lord Jesus Christ, what He is coming back again to save all of us. But, oh, recently when I was talking to my friend, he told me, how are you doing over there in Hawaii? I said, oh, fine. Recently I had a family counseling. That family was slightly fighting. What they were fighting for? Oh, because he is always wanted to have a little bit more fresh air. For him, everything is quite hot. But for her, everything is very, very cold. She wants to have a little bit more warmness, and she wants to have all the windows closed. And they're always complaining and fighting. Even they came to the family counseling because of this issue. My dear beloved, oh, in our family, we absolutely agree. But if you do not have in your car with automatic climate control, you can still be happy. You can still be happy. Because over there in Uzbekistan, overseas, if you've never been overseas, dream about this, pray. But you know that overseas could be right in your backyard. It could be your neighbor's house. It could be your relatives or friends. But you don't need to have automatic control in order for you to be happier. If you can count the true friends on each finger, on your hand, you should be truly grateful. You should be so thankful to the Lord for all His blessings. Let's see what Sister White is saying from Signs of the Times in July 16th, 1902, paragraph 11. Kind words are as dew and gentle showers to the soul. The scripture says of Christ that grace was poured into His lips, that He might know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And the Lord bids us, let your speech be always with grace, that it may minister grace into their hearers. I really love how we are experiencing a wonderful time in Hawaii when we are hugging each other. When we are hugging each other and sharing grace. Let me show you how people are hugging each other over there in Russia. A big bear hug. Yes, it's two bears. But in reality, it's animals. What about us people? How we really need to love one another. And this is what Sister White is saying. Leave unspoken that unkind word. Let that selfish disregard of the happiness of the others give place to loving sympathy. Those thoughtful courtesies begins in the home and extending far beyond the home circle. Go far to make up the sum of life's happiness, and the neglect of them constitute no small share in life's misery. My dear beloved, if we will simply put this in a real practice, our churches, we will double easily very, very soon. If we will use the kind words and really use the wise words, as we will bring people closer into the relationship with the Lord. We really need to be open-minded when we are talking about Christian friends. Jesus told us in His commission, and according to the Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18 and down, He said, go therefore and make disciples. What does it mean, make disciples in nowadays? It means make friends. Be friends to them. Share with them how you really appreciate what God did personally for you. So often we have nothing to share because we are not appreciated for all the blessings which God is sharing with us. Let us make friends and be thankful. This is what Paul is writing. But thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have. Because only with the Lord Jesus we can completely be blessed. And if you are still struggling, maybe you are still smoking, maybe you are still attracted to the alcoholic beverages, maybe something is happening in your family relationship, today you will receive the answer right here from the old book in the Old Testament. Job is appealing to your heart. Submit to God and you will have peace. You know, Job, he went through his personal experience. He lost everything what he had. And he learned this lesson hard way, where he is saying, submit to God and you will have peace. When things will do well for you, today is your day. Today is your time when you can make a decision for Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I would like to follow you. We started today, let's summarize the whole sermon. We started today with thanksgiving. And we shared this psalm all together, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Yes, we enjoyed that psalm and now we will remember. Psalm 100, powerful psalm in the Bible. As we will approach this church, as we will approach his gates, we will be always thankful. But you know, his gates is in our house too. His gates is our lips. His gates is our heart when we are sharing the good appreciation and our attitude to the others. Remember Luke 17:17. Jesus asked, were you not all 10 cleansed? Where all the other 9? I took this text personally because I really be, I really want to be the one whom Jesus will ask. And thank you, Jesus, what we have a great and a privilege today, an opportunity to be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. And the last verse for today, Psalm 103, verse 2. Let us pray. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we would like to bless your name. We would like to uplift your name on high. We would like to give you glory and honor. Teach us, O Lord, how we can be more appreciative, how we can be more thankful, how we can say thank you to you for everything what we are receiving. And help us, O Lord, to be joyful all the time. O dear Lord, help us not to forget all your blessings, not take them for granted, but be thankful for all your special blessings, and especially the gift of salvation. Bless the Puna Church and every one of us here individually. We are praying in the name of Jesus. Amen.